The Nutty Bites Podcast is geek certified by the Geek Out with Mainframe Podcast. I mean, you're listening to it. You know it's good.
Welcome to Nutty Bites for the last month of 2011, being released halfway through January of 2012. This is your Nutty Bites for December. I don't like to apologize. I don't like to make excuses. I don't like to listen to people apologize and make excuses as to why they didn't have time to do X, Y, or Z when dealing with podcast blogging, you name it. This is something we do and we don't get paid for. So whatever, just give the content and who cares? Well, this was the last month of the first season of Nutty Bites, and there were a couple of things that kind of halted the release of this podcast. Number one, it's the last one of the season and just kind of was so big, I didn't know, should I do a wrap-up of the whole year or should I just decide to do the month? The other thing is I keep trying to decide, am I going to change the format a little? I keep toying with the idea of recording smaller segments and sending them out more frequently so you get a shorter, informative episode and more debates, and I keep meaning to get my fiction out there and other fiction out there, and truth of the matter is, I'm swamped. But in a good way. After Christmas, we went to New York to visit my family for our Christmas, which is Epiphany, January 6th, and that took a lot out of me, but also I came back to a pile of work, just piles of work, and I had to do that first. And then there was also every time I had recording time, which is generally during the day, there were big kabooms going on, and I thought it was construction, and I was just, oh my gosh, construction. No, as I found out, I really was under attack. Those were tanks. Yeah. I live on an army base and they were having fun with some leopards. And, you know, I basically spent a couple of days with my headphones on with podcasts playing. I was able to catch up on some podcasts, actually, thankfully to that. But basically, because every time it went kaboom, I would jump. And it wasn't even a regular interval. And I thought it was construction. I blame everything on construction. And my husband had come home for lunch one day and he heard it. And then when he drove to work, he realized it was louder there. And he called up one of his boys and they're like, oh yeah, you like the noise we're making? Yeah, yeah. You're giving my wife an anxiety attack. Oh, good fun though.
What's awesome in the month of December?
Christmas and New Year's and everything was an epiphany. Everything was great. We had a nice little quiet Christmas here at home. We had Mark the Encaffeinated one over for dinner. We just had a lot of fun. One of the bigger things, sorry, before I get to Christmas, the best thing about December was that Tech came home. Yay! He had been gone for 3 months, and that was 3 months too long. That was 4 months too long. That was just way too long. So it was great having him back. He had a little bit of time to hang out before Christmas, and we got to have a little fun together. And then, as I said, Christmas came, and we had, before Christmas, we had this awesome holiday party at the radio station here in Fredericton, CHSR-FM. And It was really nice. It was potluck, lots of nummy treats. My lemon cakes went very, very quickly. As it turned out, one of the guests there, she has a severe egg allergy. So when she heard that there's no egg and no milk in my lemon cakes, she went nuts. Let me just tell you, people, when you're making cupcakes, when you're making breads, well, some breads you need egg, but when you're making cupcakes and cakes and things like that, you really don't need egg. If somebody has an egg problem or if they have a milk problem, you can avoid it very easily. You don't need that at all. Actually, oil and egg, that makes your cakes heavy. And I know this isn't a baking podcast, but I just want to give my information here. It makes your cakes really heavy. So skip that stuff. Just use some seltzer And I know people look at me like I have a toaster for a head, but if you've ever had my baked goods, trust me, it's dry mix and seltzer, and that's it. I don't put in the other stuff, and it tastes wonderful. The only challenge I have in baking right now is being able to make gluten-free not so dense. I'm not a fan of dense cake. I don't think you should have to work to get through a cupcake. My niece has celiac, so I've been trying different gluten-frees. My sister makes really good gluten-free. I can't quite make it taste like regular. I may have to get down to the nitty-gritty and experiment with lots of flours, but I just, since she doesn't live here, it's not so easy to experiment, and I don't want a bunch of cupcakes lying around. Anyway, so back to December. So for Christmas, we got, instead of, usually I get, you know, live trees. I don't have an aluminum tree. I grew up with the scent of pine. We would go out the week before Christmas, get a tree, bring it home, set it up, decorate it, the whole nine yards, and it would stay up until after Epiphany. Now, in my family, Epiphany is our Christmas, but sometimes we can't celebrate Epiphany on Epiphany. Growing up, my father was a merchant sea captain, so he wouldn't be home. And there are times that we would have Epiphany in February or later, and the tree would stay. It would have brown needles, but it would stay. And so for me, a live tree is just, it's just part of Christmas. I have no problem against fake trees. My sister has a really great fake tree. Actually, I think she needs to replace it this year because of her cats. But the lights are actually on the tree. It looks real and it has soft bristles and everything. So A, you really wouldn't notice a difference, and B, it's a heck of a lot easier. Unfortunately, she has to staple her tree into the floor so that her cats don't knock it over, because they like to climb all the way up to the angel and go dive bombing from across the room. She has very acrobatic cats. So anyway, yeah, so I like a live tree, and often we don't celebrate Christmas here, so we have had, I think Tech and I have shared 3 Christmas trees to date in the 10 years that we've been together, which is saying something. 2 of them were live, and then there's this year, which was not just a live tree, but an alive tree, as in it wasn't cut. It's still in a planter. It's about 3 feet tall, and it's very cute, soft bristles. My bigger bulbs look a little silly on it, but I like it. I also had the opportunity to find these really snazzy LED Christmas lights that look like the big giant bulbs from when we were kids, you know, the ones where if one light goes out, they all go out. It was very cool. So every year we keep the tree in the house all winter. During the cold months, it stays inside, or it will probably not do so well. It's a pine type tree, which means it can handle the snow, but I've tried this before, and the problem is if it's ever inside, it can't be outside during the winter because it's too much of an extreme shock to the plant system, and so that doesn't quite work. So we'll be keeping it in the house during the winter months, and in the summer months we put it outside. We are not taking it out of the pot. We might put it in a prettier pot, but we're not going to replant it or anything because I have terrible luck with that. I've never been able to successfully pot a plant. I don't know why, it just doesn't work. So I do not have a green thumb at all, but I'm excited about the fact that my Christmas tree will be getting bigger each year until one year when we have to replace it. My aunt does this all the time, and I absolutely love it. And I remember quite a few years where the tree was just a bit too big for her dining room, but it's great. Now my aunt and her husband has a green arm, but he is a landscaper, so. Anyway, shopping for gifts were a little interesting because Tech had off and we generally went into town together. and any store I wanted to go to for him, he wanted to go to for me. So instead of trying to coordinate it, so we went at different times, we just went in together, picked out gifts for each other, and sometimes we had the same thing in our arms, which is good, so that we didn't end up giving each other the same thing. And then we paid together, and there was no wrapping and no surprise, but it was still fun. We did stocking stuffers. We do like gag gifts and funny little trinkets, and we totally forgot to go out and get those beforehand. So we ended up going to a truck stop and just getting random stuff, which was all sorts of fun. Got lots of little goofy things that I absolutely adore. We had Marketing Caffeinated one over, as I said. We got to play Monty Python's Flux. It's a card game. The Flux card game has lots of different variants. I'd never played it before, but I was on the floor laughing. It was so much fun. I really enjoy that card game and I would love to play it again. We watched Asterix and Obelix go to the Olympics, I think, and just had a really good time. I confess I was drinking mimosas all day. I don't drink much, very rarely, but when we do holidays at home, I like my mimosas. New Year's was fun. We were introduced to a new gaming group of people and other types of geeks. We played card games. The game was Bang. I think we played Werewolf. We played a lot of Rock Band and just had an all-around good time and ate way too much food. Oh my gosh. See, I was fine for food eating on Christmas. The mimosas might have been a little over, but other than that, I was fine. New Year's, oh my. So many good foods. And then the next day, we kind of slept it off. And then the following day, Tech and I drove down to New York. So then there was all sorts of craziness there. The geeks in my family get together the night before Epiphany and we played some D&D tabletop. It was a lot of fun. We had some pretty funny joke characters, but all in all had a good time. One of my sisters, it was her first time DMing. She did a pretty good job. Yay, Kaylin. And yeah, we had a great time. Then there was Epiphany and we did that earlier in the day because Tech and I had to leave directly after Epiphany and drive home so that he could get to work on time. That was hard doing Epiphany and driving home in the same day. Had we been able to have one extra day, it would have been nice. But unfortunately, you don't get to negotiate these things with the army sometimes. I love doing Epiphany. We did it a little earlier in the day. Instead of starting around lunchtime, we started around breakfast time. We just had a blast. And I think the rest of my family continued celebrating into, you know, dinner time and beyond. I'm glad it worked out really well. And it was just a really great time. Got lots of geek presents. So I got a lot of comics for Christmas and I got a lot of comics for Epiphany. Let's see if I can remember them all. I got some more Buffy comics, Dollhouse comics, Game of Thrones comics, Mouse, Kill Shakespeare, and Iron Man Noir. And I've only just started to crack these. I also got the Buffy tabletop gaming book, which is really awesome to have the book. I have the PDF, but having the book is even cooler. It's especially fun, you know, flipping through and seeing the different characters, how they're rated and so forth. I have played in the system before. It's right up my alley. Played a game that Marketing Caffeinated ran with some of the Between the Lines Studios people, and that was so much fun, and I wish we could go back to it, but I don't think any of us have the free time to do that. That was great. It was my first experience of gaming over Skype, and tabletop gaming over Skype, that couldn't actually work. You'd be surprised. It just takes some good planning from the DM. And our DM was great. Yeah, so we came back and I've just been trying to pull myself out of vacation mode and get everything done, trying to get through my different projects and get things done and move on. And oh, yes. One more thing. So season two, I'm breaking up Nutty Bites into seasons, by the way. Season two, I haven't quite decided the theme yet. See, season one, 2011, was the year of awesome. But what is season two? I have a couple of suggestions. 2012, the year of no pants. I can totally get behind that. I mean, who doesn't want to have a year of no pants? Half the time I'm podcasting in no pants. 2012, the year of the spontaneous dance party. I like dancing. I dance a lot. Quite spontaneous at it. 2012, the year of funk. Ooh. I like that. Funk is good. Funk is really good. Or 2012, The Hug Apocalypse. Now that one, I can get behind. And I think I might be able to make it a mission for all of you mixed nuts and nutcases. Another mission is for us to decide between nutcases and mixed nuts. We want to have one. What do you guys really want? I mean, come on. So we'll figure that out. But also, Hug Apocalypse. I like this. If every month you all vow to hug someone, sounds good to me. I know some people aren't really huggy types of people, but even when you're not a huggy type of person, there's at least someone in your life that you like getting hugs from. And if you don't have someone in your life you like getting hugs from, maybe you should find someone in your life that you think might want to get a hug. And virtual hugs count. I am constantly getting hugs from across the sea from Bremen, and I love it. Yay, Marty. So all of those ideas were given to me by J.R.D. Skinner of Flashpole. B.A. Matthews says, for me and my friends, next year is the year of the epic query. So how about the year of epic? I don't know. Do we think that epic might, taunt the whole end of the world thing? You know I don't believe in it, but it could taunt it. We'll see. How about epic hugs? I could work with epic hugs. I still want to highlight what's great. I'm still going to be talking about these amazing, cool, and awesome things, but I want every year to have its own theme. So I think it's going to be the year of epic hugs. Let's do more than just highlight what's awesome. Let's spread the awesome. We'll make Nutty Bites an infection and make it spread and make people nicer in the world. I like that, right?
My world was in a sad state. I knew what had to be done, but I didn't know how to make it happen. See, I had to attend this extremely important banquet, and I didn't have a bow tie. Where would I find one on such short notice? Where? Then I saw an ad in the newspaper. International Gallifrey Emporium. We have everything. So onto their website I went, and there I found the perfect bow tie. Because as everyone knows, bow ties are cool.
Okay, here is my story! I was totally bugging. My BFF Stacy was having an awesome party, and I needed that costume. I wanted something completely different. Joey would never even notice me if I came in the same costume that everyone had already seen. So I had all of my costume ready. It was perfect. Except I needed a hat to complete it. I decided on a fez. I know, right? So that was my best idea ever. Well, guess what? No one on the whole planet was selling a fez. Then Lonnie, my savior, told me about the International Gallifrey Emporium. I ordered an adorable red fez, and it was shipped at the speed of light right to my door. Well, Joey totally flirted with me all night. And you know why? Oh, it is so obvious. Fezzes are totally cool.
There I was, riding my trusty steed, old Raven. Sun was real hot, real hot. Heat beat down from the sky onto my bare head, and I saw some crazy hallucinations. They had to be hallucinations, because things like that, boy, they don't exist. Saw a man step out of a blue box. He was wearing a strange shaped hat on his head. He ran over to a cactus, pulled out some of the needles, and he attached a piece of something. He returned to his box and the whole thing done disappeared. Well, old Raven and I rode to the spot where the box had been, but there was no sign of it. A piece of something was still on the plant. It was a piece of newspaper. It was an advertisement for International Gallifrey Emporium with a picture of the strange hat. It was called a Stetson. I immediately had the town general store order one in. Now, I wear it everywhere. It keeps the sun off my head. Because Stetsons are cool.
This ad has been brought to you by the International Gallifrey Emporium. Visit www.gallifrey.who or call 1-888-WHOVIAN.
What are you listening to?
So I'm catching up on my podcasts, but I haven't really, well, no, I've added quite a few podcasts, but I haven't actually listened to any of the new things that I've added. I've added Idiotcast, I listened to Alien Nation. Kenny from Knights of the Guild and MASH and other Fanboy Productions is doing the Newcomers podcast, an Alien Nation podcast, which is great because I just got Alien Nation, I think for like $20, the entire series from Amazon. And it's super dirt cheap. And I highly recommend you go and you watch it. And I found out about the super cheapness of it from Aaron Makem from Sci-Fi Dig. And I'm very thankful to him for giving me that. And yeah, go watch it. Love it. It's a great show. So I am listening to that. I've subscribed to quite a few other podcasts, but I just haven't gotten around to listening to them. But I am getting through the backlog of my podcasts, which, woohoo, very nice. I think I finished all my Thanksgiving podcasts and I'm almost done with most of the Christmas ones. So go me. So other than that, not too many new things, but let me talk about games instead. I've done a little bit of gaming. See, I'm swamped, so what do? I play games. Oh, yeah. Just a few. First off, Star Trek Online has gone free to play. It's not completely open free to play just yet. If you ever subscribed before, you can have a free to play account now, which is great. So I've been playing for the last week that I've been home, and it's a lot better than it was when I was last playing. I played Star Trek Online when it first launched. I played it in beta and everything, and I played it for several months. I think I got a 3-month subscription. I didn't get the lifetime, which I probably should have because it really wasn't that bad of a price because it also included the game, and at the time you had to buy the game. I think you won't have to buy the game once Star Trek Online goes officially free to play, but we'll see. But we actually ended up buying 3 copies anyway. But I didn't want to buy the lifetime because I like Star Trek so much that I didn't want to curse the game by buying a lifetime and making it suck. I thought that if I bought a lifetime subscription, that it would just not be something I would want to play. Or it would just go under, even if it was a good game, a la Tabula Rasa. I didn't play that, Tech did. But yeah, sadness. Poor Tabula Rasa. It seemed like a good game. I just never got around to playing it. Anyway, so Star Trek Online, I was playing it for quite a while and I really enjoyed it. But the problem was when I travel, at the time, the only laptop I was using that was able to play games, because my netbook didn't have a Realm card. Could you imagine playing on a netbook? So the only laptop we had was the HP laptop. The graphics, it could barely handle the graphics. Dialed down, the ships looked like triangles. It can't really handle an unstable connection, so logging on from a hotel was very tricky. See, I never had any problems with the laptop logging on to DDO. DDO is Dungeons and Dragons Online, and you can play that game with any computer, almost any connection. I've known people who've played it with satellite connections, if you believe it. It's actually pretty amazing. They have 2 versions of it. You can get the high def and the standard. And the standard, you can run it on. As long as you have a real video card, you can run this game. Star Trek Online, not quite the case. So I couldn't play it while I was traveling. I ended up having, I think, like 2 or 3 months of subscription time that I just wasn't playing because I was working. It just happened to be during my busy time. And so I canceled my subscription. And I just, as much as it was great because I had a lot of friends on there from the old role-playing days of Star Trek on the WBS chat room, I really enjoyed that aspect of it, but I couldn't keep up with it. And there were a lot of problems. There was rubber banding. There were running out of content. The Klingons had nothing to do. It was all PvP. I don't like PvP. I'm a PvE person. Player versus player and player versus environment is what those acronyms mean. I couldn't stick with it. I wanted to go back, but I just couldn't. And every time I heard these rumors that Star Trek Online was going to go to free to play. I would get excited. And then Cryptic made Champions Online free to play. And I tried that out and I had a lot of fun with that. And I was so excited because that meant Star Trek would be next. And now Star Trek is free to play. I think it's tomorrow that anybody who's never played can go free to play, which is really cool. I'm really glad that as an early adopter, we were given the chance to get onto the free to play beforehand and figure things out and everything. I think that's a really nice way to give back to the fans and so forth. And the cool thing is, because I had been a subscriber for 100 days, I now have a veteran status, which means I get a bonus 2% to all XP, I believe it is. And if I had 400, then I would get like a whole bunch of other rewards, which is really nice. And even though I'm free to play, just having that is nice. It tempts me to go subscriber just to get up to the 400 veteran status. We'll see. I have decided to stop subscribing to DDO and go VIP. I canceled my subscription today and I cleared things out. So I know which characters I'm going to keep. I know what parts I'm going to have to buy. Yeah, it's probably a year late of me stopping the subscription, but I really believed in the game and I still do and I love playing it. It's just I haven't actually played the game since October. I didn't play at all during November. Last year I did. Last year during November, it was my reward. If I got 5,000 words, I got to go play, and almost every day I was able to play because I would get 5,000 words, and I should have focused on that. There's that, and then Christmas was coming, and then the Old Republic, Star Wars Old Republic MMO is out, and most of my guildies are off playing that, and I really don't want to. One, I'm not paying for another subscription, because that's my rule. One subscription to one game at a time. And two, I refuse to play a game within the first 6 months. After doing Star Trek Online, even though I love Star Trek and I kept wanting to come back, I just could not go back after. I can't do an early release game. I played The Old Republic at New York Comic Con. It's a lot of fun. It's like they combined WoW with Star Wars and gave you some active combat. But I'm not really that into it. I'm more of a Trekkie anyway, so I'm really happy that Star Trek Online is now free to play right at this time. Fortunately, that means a lot of people from Star Trek Online are off playing The Old Republic. But that's okay, because I'm enjoying it. I've just made my Rear Admiral a Vice Admiral, which means I'm level capped, figuring everything out. The free to play is not so limiting that it's difficult, which is nice. And I just started messing around, fiddling with my Klingon, and it seems like there's a lot more PvE for that. They changed the way you do skills. They changed a couple of ways that they do quests. There's lots of new content, very few rubber banding issues. I really enjoy it. I'm happy to be back there. So if you're looking to play Star Trek Online, just look for me. I'm at Nukechas. My Federation character is Theo at Nukechas, and my Klingon is Nukechas at Nukechas. So there you go. Some other games that I've been playing, and most of these I got while I was in New York because I just wanted things to do in between activities. I got The Sims Free Play. I'm really not a Sims fan. I love SimCity. I loved that. That was a lot of fun. I was given Sims on the DS once. It was boring. It was really boring. Most of the Sims, I'm playing around with this one, figuring out what it's like and everything. It has this thing where you can buy stuff with your iTunes account. I tried that. Yeah, it took my money but didn't give me anything. So if you do want to try Sims Free Play, it's for your iPad or iPhone or so forth. If you want to play Sims Free Play, don't buy anything. I wanted to give it a fair shake. I love free games with the idea of a microtransaction model. I have no problem playing LOTRO, Conan, Champions, Star Trek, DDO, whatever, and actually spending money in the store. I know there are people that believe that that's a big ripoff, but I would much rather get the game for free and then pay you for what I'm actually using, or whatever. And if I find some enjoyment, I want to spend money on the product anyway to support the game. And I was starting to get some enjoyment from The Sims. So I said, let me buy, you know, some of these life points or whatever. And so I can do a little more. And then I've paid for the game and I won't feel, not that I feel guilty, but I want to show them that this is worthy of them putting their development dollars towards. Yeah, except they stole my money. I sent in a complaint ticket. I have not heard back. It's been 3 days. And so while I say game is fun, yeah, don't try to buy any in-app purchases. That's just lame. I downloaded The Game of Life for the iPad. That was a lot of fun. Played that with Tech. We had a lot of fun playing it. It's a stupid, young adult kind of game or kids game or whatever you want to call it. But it was funny because we were joking back and forth as the people that we were. And by the way, you can learn from The Game of Life. If you go to school, you make a lot more money than if you don't go to school. So go to college and get a career in medicine, law, or accounting. Yeah, you're not going to make much as a hairdresser, according to The Game of Life. And according to The Game of Life, it really doesn't matter how many kids you have or if you have kids at all. What matters is how much money you have when you retire. Yeah, apparently that's what makes you a winner, is how much money you have. Oh, and you have no choice. You must get married. That's another thing. Kind of interesting. We did discuss the whole, well, you have to be married, opposite sex couples. And I said, well, no, you don't know that pink means that you're marrying a girl. Pink could be a guy. Blue could be a girl. You don't know. That was fun. we got Monopoly and we tried that on the iPad. Monopoly, wow. It's not as fun as I remember. And playing two players, it's mean. And we were being nice, but it was just mean. I have Scrabble. I've had Scrabble on my iPad and my phone for a while. Tech and I were playing games against each other. That was a lot of fun. And I've been playing with people on Facebook Scrabble. And I started playing Words with Friends with a bunch of people. And it's fun because I have a lot more people to play with on Words with Friends, but I prefer Scrabble. I don't know. Maybe it's just the old board layout. Maybe it's just the tile, how much things are worth and so forth. And I'm just used to what things are worth. I just like Scrabble. I think that the Scrabble app is better than the Words with Friends. The Words with Friends app is really annoying and it sends notifications whether you want it to or not. And that bugs me. And the game on Facebook also bugs me. And just the Scrabble one I like better. I think it's coded better and it's not trying to sell you something even if you've paid for the app. But there's more people on Words with Friends. So if you'd like to play Scrabble or Words with Friends, you can find me on Facebook and we can play. I do not answer like crazy. Sometimes I'll give you a move a day. Sometimes it might be more. Sometimes it might be less if I'm traveling. But it's pretty much like what I like to do when I'm winding down and getting ready for bed. I got Arkham Horror for Christmas. I don't think I mentioned that. And they've got a bunch of stuff that I didn't mention. But Arkham Horror, I've played it. I love it. Just got the game and now I want to set up to play, but I need lots of people to play that with. So yeah, it's a board game. It's kind of like a role-playing board game, like Talisman or whatever. But instead of working against each other, you're working together to try to stop a great elder god from rising and destroying the world. It's really cool.
Hey girl, you know how I like it when you talk about your fantasies and your science fictions on the Pendragon Variety Podcast.
www.pendragonvariety.com. We'll be waiting.
I heard it on Twitter.
I got a great recipe for black bread for Game of Thrones to try out. I believe it's made with beer. And it looks really interesting, but I haven't actually made that. I want to thank Aurora Lee for the recipe, and I can't wait to try it out. It is an Inn at the Crossroads recipe. If you Google Inn at the Crossroads, you will find a WordPress site done by these wonderful women. I believe they're women. And they now have a book coming out, which is, it has something to do with Game of Thrones, but basically it's food, advice, and fire. It's official. It's recognized. George R. R. Martin loves their recipes. They've brought him actual cooked baskets of food on his signing tour. He loved it. They're pretty awesome, and I highly recommend them. They started just as Game of Thrones started on HBO, and they've just got so many interesting recipes. So check them out. And if you want that black bread recipe and you don't want to actually Google it, just let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. I have it saved as a favorite. Spiritual Tramp, listening to some Ginny Dare audio, and I'm so glad Nukcha said yes to narrating / playing Ginny. I hang my head in shame. I'm so behind on giving him chapters, but they will get there and they will be clean audio. Ah, thank you, Scott. I absolutely love that you like my work. I will get those chapters to you, I promise. And this is a lesson to myself. I've always said I like small roles. Yeah, narrating an audiobook is a lot of work. I understand why people don't want to do it. Oh my gosh. But it's great, and I'm actually learning quite a bit. I'm learning more about my sound, and I'm picking up a lot more sound. I'm hoping that the podcast improves as I'm learning about this stuff. Actually working on creating myself a foldable, portable recording booth that I can set up. I want to get, you know, those room dividers and then fill that with foam so that I don't have to deal with echo bouncing off of walls, and it kind of will insulate my microphone from the sound of the street. Because I live, it's not a very busy, it doesn't look like it should be a busy street. It's just a regular street. But because of the way things are, we're off of a main street and there's a bunch of cul-de-sacs that come off of us, like a bunch of crescents. And so we get a lot of traffic, and I don't know why. And if it's around lunchtime or around quitting time or around going to work time, you can't record a thing. And on Sundays, I can't, oh my goodness, I can record discussion podcasts on Sundays, but I really can't record too much things on Sundays that need clear audio because people like to ride their motorcycles. Not so much in the winter though. I haven't had too much of a problem in the winter, but in the summer and even in the fall, if the road is clear, like I think if today were a Sunday that we'd be hearing motorbikes because wow, and they're loud. Anyway, off tangent, sorry about that. Ah, yes. And so George R. Martin, to give a little backstory for this tweet here. Yes, it started from my tweet, which was, "Go George R. R. Martin, USA Today's Author of the Year." Yes, he made Author of the Year. He made Time's People of the Year list. The books made tons of lists. The show made tons of lists, all sorts of things. But for USA Today, he was the Author of the Year, and that was the one that he made the top one. I don't remember if I said this or if Zach Mann added this, but the gist of it is that he is Author of the Year because of the John Anelio song, right? Which is George R. R. Martin is not your bleep. You all know what that song is. I would love to play it, but this is a PG podcast and I can't. That's why I play lots of other John Anelio sounds. Then John Anelio responds with, "Yes, of course, George R. R. Martin owes all of his success to me. So did you hear that, George? That's right. You better thank John Anelio for giving you USA Today's Author of the Year. I mean, he gave you all sorts of pimping. It had nothing to do with, you know, the great writing or awesomeness of your series or, you know, the fact that everybody loves it and you've got a TV show coming out at the same time as a bunch of books and it had Sean Bean and a bunch of other epic people in it. Nothing to do with that. It's all John.
Mars needs podcasts. So this holiday season, think about them by going to theweirdshow.com and subscribing. Mars needs podcasts. The Weird Show, all for you.
And the Martians.
What I'm reading.
So I got a bunch of comics for Christmas, and I've been diving into that. I got some Dollhouse comics, but I guess they're out of order, and I didn't realize till after I started reading. It's kind of interesting. It takes place after the end of season 2 and before Epitaph 1, I think. Very interesting, really pretty. Eliza Dushku's character Echo, it looks more like the character Echo and less like actually Eliza Dushku. Not that it doesn't look like her, just, I don't know, in the way that some of the Buffy characters aren't exactly the actors, it's in the same way, if you can understand that at all. But the interesting thing is they drew Felicia Day's character, and wow, does it ever look like Felicia Day, which is kind of awesome. I mean, I'm really enjoying the way that that's drawn. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's very interesting. I want to get all of them. I'm looking into the Dark Horse digital comic reader for the iPad. I just need to figure out, for the Buffy comics at least, because I got the trades of volume 5 up and I have 1 and 2, so I'm missing a couple of the trades, but the Dark Horse digital comic reader sells them by issue, so I need to figure out how the issues line up with the trades. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the beginning part of the episode. It's been 3 days, I think, since I recorded that. I'm recording in sections and it's taking a lot longer than I thought. Anyway, what else I'm reading is I've downloaded all the Sherlock stories. Well, most of them, not all of them. I can't say all of them because I don't know if I've got them all. But I downloaded a mess of Sherlock stories off public domain. I have them in the iBooks program on my iPad. You can get them for Stanza. You can get them for Kindle and Kobo and anything you want. I just happen to like the iBooks interface because you can actually buy and download books from the iBooks directly from iTunes, which is really neat. These are free. The public domains are free. They were put together in e-format by Project Gutenberg. So yay public domain, yay Project Gutenberg, love you all. I didn't look into the Kindle simply because when I wanted them, I wasn't at a computer, I was on my iPad, and it was just a lot easier. I wish that Kindle would allow you to purchase books and download books and select books right from the app rather than having to go on a computer on the website and so forth. It's a little annoying, but I'm sure it has something to do with security or whatever. So, yay Sherlock Holmes. I'm really enjoying the stories. I've read them all, I'm pretty sure. I read them like crazy when I was a kid. And I used to listen to the audio dramas and anything that has Sherlock in it, I want to go and see. I love Sherlock Holmes. But rereading the stories again, I'm just having so much fun. And it's great because I'm not picturing Benedict Cumberbatch and I'm not picturing, you know, anyone I've ever seen or any of the voices that I've heard from audio drama as I'm rereading them, which I was a little afraid that I might do because sometimes when you read something and then you see it on television, your perception and your image of the characters change. Not happening at all. It's the Sherlock I remember from when I was a kid, and it's really neat. I've been reading them as I go to bed, actually, and that's actually helping me get to sleep a little bit better than I normally do because I know the stories already. I don't have to stay up and keep reading. I can read till I start to feel drowsy, and then I can turn the iPad off, which is fantastic. If you haven't read the Sherlock Holmes stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, do yourself a favor. Go get them. They are public domain. You can download them to your computer, to your phone, to your tablet, to whatever. You can print them out if you want to kill some trees. They're not very long. They're really good and you'll just enjoy them. So go ahead, read some Sherlock.
Hi everyone, this is Morgan.
And this is Chris.
And here at the Twisted Geeks, we do what geeks do best. And what's that, Chris?
We just sit here, do a podcast every week, giving you our opinions on geek entertainment and culture, while we do nothing else about it.
Sounds like fun to me. And you can find out more about us at twistedgeeks.com.
Because nobody else can tell you our opinion on what's going on in the geek culture out there right now.
You said it.
So, as Morgan told you, go to www.twistedgeeks.com to get the right opinion on everything that we feel is important.
To be continued. That's right, folks. I've recorded way too much, and so I'm going to break this up into two podcasts. I try to keep Nutty Bites under an hour so it can fit onto a CD for one specific listener and possibly others that actually burn the podcast to a CD so he can listen to it on his commute. So look forward to part 2 of December's Nutty Bites coming up in the feed real soon.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347 688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.